It's great to be also between this time between Christmas and New Year, as I mentioned, still on the tail end of the holiday season, so I welcome you all here today, guests and the regulars, and Charles, of course, and everybody else who might be watching. And we find ourselves back in the book of James, chapter 4, 11 through 12. So let's go ahead and jump in and read that passage and talk about it and see what James is telling his readers back then and now as well as we read it. And chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 again of James say the following. It says, "Don't speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another?" So we come to this interesting passage after, for the last few Sundays, looking at the preceding 10 verses. And all of a sudden we come to these two verses that seem like they come out of nowhere and don't necessarily relate to the prior 2 verses. I'm sorry, to the prior 10 verses, actually. We look at these two and it seems like they come out of left field and are seemingly unrelated. And if you recall our discussions last Sunday and a couple Sundays prior, remember that in the first 10 verses, James tells us about conflicts and where conflicts come from, number one. And then number two, in the latter part of that section of the first 10 verses, he tells us as to what ought to be the Christian response to the call of God, to God's gracious offer of salvation. And so, and then we come to these two verses. Like I said, it seems like they are there all of a sudden without any connection. But I would submit to you that if you look a little bit closer, they are very connected. And I would say they're connected in two ways. If you look back to verse 10, look at how James ends that passage. In verse 10 of the preceding 10 verses, he ends that section about conflict and how a Christian ought to respond to God's calling by saying, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." So he ends that prior section with that specific verse that says, "Humble yourself." And if you remember the example of humility that we looked at last time, it was from the book of Luke, where a Pharisee and a tax collector were praying together in the temple. And if you remember in that example, the humble person that Christ describes did what? The humble person, if you want to look it up, it's written in Luke 18:32. The tax collector was standing there and he would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he was beating his breast saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's what a humble person doing. Not a humble person was doing what? If you read also that passage in Luke, it says that the Pharisee was standing there praying and telling God the following words, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, the adulteresses, or even as that tax collector who was standing next to him." So the takeaway from that example is that when someone is not humble, likelihood of the not humble person to talk about others is very high. And in that example that Jesus gave us, the unhumble person, so to say, the Pharisee, he was pointing to a different person and speaking ill to an extent. So that's what I would say is one connection. And the second connection, you could, if you look also at the chapter 4 of James that we just read, in verses 7 through 10, James is describing to us how Christians ought to act in relations to God. So 7 through 10 tell us how Christians ought to act in relations to God, humbling ourselves to God and so forth. But in 11 through 12, and these following verses, he's really describing the relationship that Christians are to have to one another. Because we're not only communicating up, we're also communicating to one another as well. So with that, let's go ahead and look at these two verses. And I wanted to highlight for us 5 things that jump out of this text for me. And I'm positive that if you study these two verses, you might see more, but I wanted to highlight at least these 5 things to us. So again, if you look at the very first phrase of that verse, 11, James chapter 4, note what it says. It says, "Don't speak evil of one another, And what is the next word, if you're reading it? The next word is brethren, in case you're not reading the passage and it's not in front of you. Again, the next word that I want to first start out with is to draw your attention that he's speaking to who? He's speaking to the brethren. So he is, James, writing the following phrase, don't speak evil to one another, and he's saying, brethren. Now, what does that mean? Oftentimes, we have this delusional view of ourselves and of Christianity that once a person is Christian, there is absolutely nothing wrong that goes in their life, number one. And number two, that Christians ought to be angels, and there's no fault, and there's no mistakes or sin that is ever made. But first, I want to draw your attention and highlight this first thing out of this text is that he's actually talking to his brethren, as it says here. So he's telling who? He's telling the brethren, don't speak evil of one another. And if you think of other passages in the scriptures, this idea is repeated multiple times. For example, if you look at 1 Peter 2 over there, Peter also is writing to Christians. And Peter says the following words in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, when he's writing to Christians, he's saying, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking. Again, there's this evil speaking that he's alluding to. As newborn babes desire the pure milk. So Peter essentially repeats the same concept when he's writing to Christians. And I urge you to read it later on. And he says, you, brethren, put aside all this dirt, so to say, and sinful behavior, and seek the milk. So again, the first item that I want us to take away from this is that James is writing to brethren. We're not going to discuss whether there's true believers, untrue believers in the church. That's a secondary issue. But takeaway is, he's saying brethren. So he's talking to us. He's talking to you as you're sitting there. The second item that I want us to highlight is that he's clearly laying down a prohibition to us, to his readers. What is that prohibition? It's that very first phrase. He says, don't speak evil of one another. How much more clear can that get? Don't speak evil of one another. I think it's very clear prohibition. However, a question might arise as you're sitting there and listening, and as the readers might have been reading, as to, well, what does that really mean? Don't speak evil of one another, as it says here, because he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law. Surely you have heard of people, maybe you yourself have even used this excuse, when someone would have brought something up to your attention in your life, you would have told them, don't judge me, who are you to judge me? Has anyone ever heard of that type of an excuse? I'm surprised. I would have thought every hand would have gotten up here because I surely have heard that excuse, right? So as you're hearing these words where James is saying, don't speak evil of one another, and because who are you to judge? You might be sitting there and thinking to yourself, well, what does that really mean? Because as I just mentioned, some people use that as an excuse not to say anything negative, period. So where do you draw the line? Well, let's look at what it does not mean to speak evil and what it means, actually. What is James trying to tell us? So again, the first item that I wanted to highlight is the fact that he's addressing the brethren. Second, that there is this clear prohibition. And thirdly, third thing what I want us to look at real quick is, what does he not mean by saying speak evil to one another? And the fourth thing is, we'll look at what does he actually mean. So what he does not mean is that when he says, don't speak evil, he's actually not talking about if someone is sinning against you, that you don't have the right to come up to that person and bring that up to their attention. Because Jesus himself, if you turn back to Matthew chapter 18, and our pastor did a number of studies on it in our Bible studies, we've looked at it as well. Jesus himself in chapter 18 of Matthew very clearly prescribes the steps that ought to be followed if there is sin that is I'm observing or that is executed towards me. And if you flip to that passage over there, it says, brothers, if somebody sins against you, go and tell his fault between you and him alone. And then the sequence is very clearly described. So clearly when James talks about don't speak evil to one another, he's not talking about that. He's not talking about confrontation over sin. Number one. What else is he not talking about? He's clearly not talking about warning other people, generally warning about them about what's to come in the future if God and Christ is rejected. And for that, you can look at multiple passages. For example, Acts 20:31 or 1 Corinthians 4:14. Paul is writing to number of churches, and there's more passages where he's telling them that I'm not writing to you to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. So clearly, when James is talking about speaking evil about somebody, he's not talking about, number one, confronting them over their sin. He's not talking about warning them also about the future to come. And he's not also talking about rebuking them. Because also, if you think, for example, of Timothy, remember, he says that Scripture is giving, and there is a laundry list of things. What is it given for? And one of those things is rebuking. Also, Titus 1:13 says, therefore, rebuke them sharply. When Paul is writing to Titus, Paul is writing to Titus. Remember, he was a pastor, a younger pastor. So James here is not talking. He does not mean that when he says don't speak evil about someone, he does not mean don't confront their sin. He doesn't mean don't rebuke them or don't warn them. Because if he meant that, then the scripture would be contradicting itself, which is not the case. So then fourthly, what does he mean? What does he mean when he says, don't speak evil of one another? And so as I was preparing for this, I read a number of commentaries. And it is a broad topic, and a lot actually encapsulates under this term as to don't speak evil of one another. But one theologian captured it in the following manner. He says, speaking evil includes willful false accusation, exaggerations of faults that are real, needless repetition of real faults, and slander. So let me read that one more time. And I think that accurately captures probably 95% of evil speaking, though I'm sure we could also think of another category. Let me read that one more time to you. It would be willful false accusation. When somebody willfully falsely accuses somebody, exaggeration of faults that are real. Perhaps somebody has a fault, but we exaggerate that. Three, needless repetition of real faults and slander. And another commentator wrote, he says that it thus denotes critical or derogatory speech that is maliciously intended to influence others against the person being spoken against. It's generally assumed that the harsh critical remarks are about somebody absent. It deliberately calls attention to the faults of others while minimizing their virtues. So I would submit to you that that's a good definition of evil speaking that we're talking about. Is there scriptural support for that? There is. Again, you can read so many different passages. In the interest of time, let's just look at two real quick. Exodus 23:1 says, you shall not circulate false report. Here's the false witness that we're talking about. And multiple passages in the Bible speak about that. Psalm 50:20 says, you sit and speak against your brother. You slander you your own mother's son. And the psalmist goes on to condemn that. So there's plenty other passages. So again, to go back to the fourth point that I want us to take away and understand is, what does this mean? When James says, don't speak evil of one another, he would be willfully, falsely accusing somebody, exaggerating their faults, needlessly repeating their real faults or slandering them, speaking evil of individuals. And lastly, and the fifth point, why? Why not do so? And actually, James spends the majority of these two verses outlining as to why we should not do that, or why a true Christian person should not do that. Look again as to what it says. It says, he who does it, or if you actually read the actual text, it says, he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? In a true Jamesian fashion, he ends that passage with a rhetorical question. Who are you to judge another? But we'll look at that in just a minute. So why not speak of others? James tells us that the latter part of verse 11 here is because by doing so, if we are speaking willfully evil of someone, we are disregarding the law. We are becoming not the followers of the laws, but we're actually proclaiming judgment of somebody else, on somebody else. And we can get into what type of a law is he talking about. Is he talking about the Mosaic law or the love of love? But we can probably look at that next time because we're running out of time. I'm not going to talk about that right now. All I want to say as we wrap up is why not speak about it? Why not speak evil of another person? Is because James clearly here is telling to us that there is only one judge. Who is that judge? He is the one, as you see in verse 12, he's the lawgiver. He's the one that gave us the great law, both the Mosaic law and the Christian law, the love, the law of the love. Remember when Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment? He answered what the greatest commandment was. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said, that's the first commandment, the greatest commandment. But he followed up immediately by saying, and the second is like it. Jesus actually said, and the second is like it. And what is that second one? He said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And when we don't love others as ourselves, when we're speaking evil of others, that's what we're demonstrating, our lack of love for them. So again, the fifth thing that I wanted to highlight is why not do it is because when we don't demonstrate that love by talking badly, evilly about others, we are essentially not following the law. We are placing ourselves above the law. And James is reminding us in that final 12th verse that we are not above the law, that there is only one lawgiver. Look at how important it is. He says that lawgiver, he's so powerful that he's the one who's able to save and destroy. And that one little phrase, he's reminding us that the lawgiver, God, he's able to save and destroy. He has the ultimate power. And when we disobey, when we speak evil of others, we put ourselves above God, above lawgiver. And as I said, true to James's fashion, as he reminds us and draws that picture to us that that lawgiver, he's so powerful and we are not, he ends the passage by asking the rhetorical question, who are you to judge another? Implying that we as human beings are nobody to pronounce judgment or to speak evil of others when it doesn't pertain to sin or other issues that we talked about. Amen.